103, Chemistry in Context, a course that talks about the interconnections between life, water, energy, and food. Basically, all of the attributes of what we do. We use energy to get around. We drink water. We use water in terms of sustaining life, and water is involved in production of food. To get started with this course, let's go through, think about how we think about answering a question that is directly related to what we're going to be covering this semester. First, if you're going to do one thing to help the world's energy security, energy supply, sustainable environment challenge, which one of the following should you do? Recycling paper, that's an important thing that people do. How important is that relative to other things, that behavior changes you could make? Drive slower. Another thing you could do is you could consciously decide, okay, I'm going to drive slower to help the environment, to use less energy, and to save money. Third option, you could eat less red meat. Have less red meat in your diet. It's a third way that you can consider helping make a more sustainable world. So out of these three, which one gives the biggest impact? Which one would be the most important thing to do? The way we address this question, and the way we're going to address a number of questions during the course of the semester, is ask questions about, okay, how much? How much of something do we use? How much of something takes place and occurs in the reaction? Related to how much is, how much energy does a particular process take? To address these questions, we're essentially going to first find ones. That is, we're going to find things that are equal to each other. And then we're going to use unit conversion. Basically, take these equations and multiply them together to end up with a final answer, and use the units involved to help us understand which way, which order we want to carry out the multiplication in. First, in terms of thinking about recycling paper, there are 314 million of us in the United States. Between us, we use between 70 million and 110 million tons of paper each year. So from these statements, we can say that 314 million people is equal to 70 million tons of paper. If we take that and multiply both sides of the equation that we had here by 314 million people, the 314 million people in the numerator cancel the 314 million people in the denominator. That turns into one. On the other side of the equation, we have 70 million tons of paper divided by 314 million people, or 0.22 tons of paper per person in the United States. The other estimate was that there, instead of 70 million tons per person, there's 110 million tons per person. We set up that equality, we do that division, and end up with one being equal to 0.34 tons per person. So in summary, each of us in the United States uses between 0.22 and 0.35 tons of paper per year. It takes 2,400,000 calories of energy to produce a ton of paper. The calories that are the sort of nutritional calories you're used to thinking about in terms of dieting, in terms of how much energy is in a candy bar, that sort of thing. So we know that 2.4 million calories of energy is equal to one ton of paper. We can take that, again, divide by one ton of paper, and end up with one is equal to 2,400,000 calories per ton of paper. Using the multiplication by one, we have 0.22 tons per person. Inserting one in the form of 2,400,000 1,000 calories per ton of paper. The ton units cancel out, and we're left with 530,000 calories per person for generating paper. The other number, the 0.35 tons per person, multiply that by one and end up with 840,000 calories per person in terms of our use of energy to produce paper. Recycling results in a 40% reduction in energy per ton of paper, and so we can take our 530,000 calories per person multiplied by 0.4 for the 40% reduction to say that recycling saves 212,000 calories per person with that estimate, or 336,000 calories per person using the upper estimate. So recycling paper can save between 200 and 300,000 calories per person per year. Note that recycling, there's a caveat, a downside in terms of recycling, and that is that when you make virgin paper, you're at a paper mill and there's scrap wood around. That scrap wood is used for heat. And so you're using a bio or renewable source of heat when you make the original virgin paper. Recycled paper, on the other hand, tends to use fossil fuels as its energy source in the recycling process. And so the use of virgin paper is more renewable than using recycled paper. That's just one part of the equation. Driving slower. Let's go through the analysis of driving slower. 18 to 25-year-olds drive about 15,000 miles per year on average. Average car in the United States gets around 25 miles per gallon, and a gallon of gasoline contains 24,000 calories of energy. Those are three things that we can plug in together in terms of multiplications by one to come up with an answer. So we have 15,000 miles per person. We want to convert away from miles, and so we have our 25 miles per gallon. We put the miles in the denominator, gallons in the numerator, miles cancel. We multiply again by one, where one comes from the gallon of gas in its energy content. So 24,000 calories per gallon, the gallons cancel. And we're left with each person using 14,400,000 calories per energy driving a car in the United States. If we look at the fuel economy versus speed plot shown here, we can see that as you increase the speed, your miles per gallon or your fuel economy decreases, and so that going from 75 miles per hour to 65 miles per hour, the fuel economy increases fairly significantly, and so by slowing down, you can reduce the amount of energy you use. And so if there is a 10% savings associated with slowing down from 75 to 65 or slowing down from 85 to 75, then that results in a savings of 1,440,000 calories of energy. There's a Department of Energy website that gives you some hints on how to save energy. If you click on your PDF file online, you should be able to get to the Department of Energy site for saving energy driving tips. Third part of the question was red meat. On average, we eat 25 billion pounds of red meat each year. In the United States, and there are 314 million of us. That results in or ends up with a statement that each person in the United States eats about 75 pounds of red meat per year. A steer eats around 13,000 pounds of grain during its lifetime and produces 580 pounds of meat. So if you take the 13,000 pounds of grain, divide by the 580 pounds of red meat, we see that there's about 22 pounds of grain used to produce a pound of red meat. Grain contains 1,840 calories of energy per pound. And so we can take our 75 pounds of red meat per person, multiply by 22 pounds of grain per pound of red meat, and then multiply by 1,840 calories per pound of grain to end up with 3,036,000 calories per person per year in terms of energy used in consuming red meat. If you reduced the amount of red meat you eat by about 10%, that would save 300,000 calories per person. So summarizing, recycling saves between 200,000 and 300,000 calories. Driving slower saves 1.4 million calories. And eating 10% less red meat can save 300,000 calories. And so of these choices, the one that has the largest impact, or could have the largest impact, is just driving a little bit slower. Adding to that, if we think about the paper recycling question, if we say that recycling saves 212,000 calories per person, if you added some technology to the equation, just printing on double-sided saves 265,000 calories. So the first option is sort of a personal choice in terms of recycling, doing something active. The second option is adding some technology. Technology can also help. The third option, which we'll talk about later when we're talking about energy use, is simply not printing. That saves the full 530,000 calories per person. So each of these is useful. Each of these can play a role and in terms of our energy use. Another example of how this course is going to play a role, or what we're going to be covering in this course, we can think about fracking. It's hydraulic fracturing. It's a process that's being actively discussed here in Fort Collins and around the country. First thing, have you heard of fracking? And we'll talk about what it is a little later on in the semester. What is it? We'll go through some of what's involved there. Big question, why are people concerned? What are the issues with hydraulic fracturing? First, it uses water. In our pyramid, sustainability pyramid, interconnection between water and energy, water and food. Hydraulic fracturing uses water. In addition to using water, it impacts groundwater if the fracking is not done right. Big issues there are benzene, toluene, and xylene. These are materials that come out with the natural gas in fracking. We'll see that these hydrophobic molecules are potential carcinogens. And we'll understand, by understanding the sort of hydrophobic effect, what role they play in our environment and how we need to be worried about that. Another part of it is heavy metal ions. Heavy metal ions are extracted in the hydraulic fracturing process, and these heavy metal ions have negative consequences to us. Again, we'll talk about metal ions later in the semester and understand a little bit more about concentration effects, understand what role heavy metal ions are playing in the environment and how they are connected into fracking. So overall, what you're going to learn in this course, we're going to talk about molecular structure, function, structure, activity, or function and activity follow structure. By seeing what a molecule looks like, you can understand a lot about what it's going to do. One place that plays a role is this statement of like dissolves like. that we'll go through and understand about solubility. We're going to go through and look at biological molecules, sugars, proteins, fats, nucleic acids, understand what their three-dimensional structures are, and what role that can play in terms of their activity. In addition to structure, quantity matters. How much is an important quantity? In terms of air pollution, how much is being emitted is a number that one needs to understand. So that how much relates to mass, and then how much also relates to energy. At the beginning of the second unit, we're going to go through and try to become calibrated on how big or how large various energy quantities are. Because this is a chemistry course, we're also going to talk about reactions. We're going to focus in on three types of reactions. The first is a condensation reaction. The condensation reaction is a reaction that's very common in the molecules of life. We're also going to talk about acid-base reactions and oxidation-reduction reactions during the course of the semester. Okay, that was sort of background information, preamble. Now we're going to just start talking a little bit about the first unit, Unit 1.1. It's sort of a boot camp into structural chemistry, what molecules look like, how to build up molecules. And we're going to use a discussion of the active ingredient in green chilies to help us see solubility and the relationship between three-dimensional structure, solubility, and reactivity. So this unit, if you will, can be thought of as being sweet, fatty, and spicy. Molecular structure helps us understand how compounds react and are changed. It'll help us understand what will dissolve or be soluble in what, and what biological molecules look like and how they work. And so we're going to be talking some about sugars. This is a three-dimensional structure of glucose. This is a more cartoon representation of that structure. Stearic acid. Stearic acid is an example of a fat or fatty molecule. And again, this is two different representations. Capsaicin. It's the molecule that's in green chilies that gives it the hot sort of sensation. And then water as the molecule that plays a central role in dissolving these other molecules. We're going to start from here next time and start building up what molecules look like and how we think about molecular structure.